And good morning, everybody, on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us this morning. Megan Hamilton is here as well. She has been a force on the Baltimore art scene for more than 30 years. In 1992, she was a co-founder of the Creative Alliance, and as the program director there, she has presented an amazing array of artists and performers from Baltimore and around the country. Her last day in that position is Friday, and she joins me in the studio this morning to talk about what she's accomplished at the Creative Alliance. We'll also talk about what's ahead for one of Baltimore's busiest and most eclectic art centers. Josh Kahn is here in Studio A. He recently joined the Creative Alliance as their new performance director, where he will continue the work that Megan and her colleagues began some 22 years ago. Megan, it's good to see you. And Josh, it's great to meet you.
Thanks. Nice to meet you as well.
Glad to be here.
So take us back, Megan, to 1992 when you and a few others started the Creative Alliance. What was your vision for it at that point?
We were looking around the cultural landscape of Baltimore and realizing that there was what at the time was a much smaller contemporary art scene with people producing great work, whether visual art or music. And we understood that the broader community wasn't aware of that. And we knew that if we could present that work to the broader community, we could use that energy to bring about positive change in our neighborhood and our community. We were also really committed to the idea of Baltimore having a pride of place and having pride in its local cultural production. And that needed support because so often local is like a code word for not that good. And it's only good if it comes somewhere else or it's on the cover of a magazine. So that's what really drove us to showcase. And we also wanted to educate kids about culture and knew arts education could really transform their lives. And we knew the broader community, artists, business people, audiences all wanted to be part of that process. So that was...
And, you know, that's a tall order to do all of that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know... That's, I forgot a few components, but you're right.
But, I mean, aspirationally, that's pretty high. I mean, you just had a big going-away party on Sunday night. I was sorry I couldn't attend. The governor showed up and played a few tunes, and you got a citation from the Senate and all. I mean, as you look back now, you know, that you're going to pass the baton, I mean, how much of those aspirations do you think you were able to meet?
I'm just floored. You know, it's well beyond my wildest dreams. You know, I can't believe what we've done. And I'm just grateful to have had a chance to been a leader in it and to have the team assembled that we do. I mean, Margaret Footner, my co-founder, is still our ED, and she's been doing an astonishing job. And, you know, the whole staff is amazing. But also the audiences. You know, Baltimore has the greatest audiences. And we have a cultural community with resources well out of scale to the size city we are. And, you know, I moved to the city in 79, and I've just seen the arts grow and help transform the city in really amazing ways. So it just, I would have never guessed it in a million years. Just to have like an elevator in the building. Every time I get in the building and ride in the elevator, I'm like, wow, we have a building with an elevator on it. Wow.
I wrote a grant for this elevator.
Like, yeah, whoa. Yeah,
right. Good for you. And Josh, you've been with the Mid-Atlantic Arts Foundation. What were you doing with those folks?
Yeah, I was over at Mid-Atlantic Arts Foundation for 2 years as a program officer running their jazz and traditional arts programs, helping support the jazz and traditional vernacular arts, folk arts community in the Mid-Atlantic region, and also working with international artists.
So you've been presenting then for a long time.
Yeah, you know, before Mid-Atlantic, I was at the Kennedy Center for a little bit as an arts management fellow. But prior to that, I spent 11 years with this organization called the National Council for the Traditional Arts, which is this really amazing organization based out of Silver Spring, but working nationally and internationally. They were founded in 1934. And with them, I was programming these major festivals around the country, really digging into community-based forms of expression. So, you know, going into these communities and talking with people and then connecting local artists with international, national artists, something that, you know, it's sort of a trend that I learned how to do very well there, something that I want to bring to Creative Alliance, and we're starting to do that very well.
Yeah, certainly been a lot of traditional music, you know, that Megan has brought to Creative Alliance and some jazz, too. I mean, do you have a particular interest in jazz, having just dealt with those folks at Mid-Atlantic? Are we going to see a little more jazz at Creative Alliance?
I think you'll see that the jazz portfolio increase a bit over at Creative Alliance. You know, we do 110 performances a year sort of at the baseline. That's not including film and workshops. I mean, there's just so much going on there all the time. So there is room to really grow that program. We had this amazing show last night with Nels Klein and Julian Lage that I think sort of kind of set the bar really high. And we're going to be adding to that. You know, I look at jazz in the same way I look at other forms of traditional arts. It's, you know, it's community-based art forms, which, you know, in 2014 can mean a lot of different things. And that's something that Creative Alliance does so well.
So, Megan, Creative Alliance has really transformed that neighborhood down there near Patterson Park in East Baltimore, and it's one of the arts and entertainment districts. Yep. Station North is another one, and that's one that a lot of folks point to as this incredible success. It's just been, you know, the amount of activity in Station North has grown exponentially since the years in which that designation was offered. There are folks who say that as a station, as an arts and entertainment area, Station North has done considerably better than Patterson Park. What's your take on that, being in the middle? You're on the ground down there in Patterson Park. As this arts and entertainment district, besides the Creative Alliance, have you seen the kind of growth and you know, increase in activity that folks have hoped for down
there?
Yeah,
I think I kind of strongly would challenge that assumption. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's based in fact. I think people have a stereotype of what they think an arts district looks like, and it's like warehouses and young people, and it's very urban. And Highland Town is a working class, diverse, multi-ethnic community. And 20 years ago, it was a community that was really at risk. People were moving out in droves. The older community was moving out. New people were moving in that were of different colors and different backgrounds. And the political leadership was really worried about the neighborhood. Having the Patterson open up was transformative. You know, we worked in partnership.
And that's the theater that you renovated in 2003.
And we worked in partnerships with other things. But having that big movie marquee go on was massively changed the neighborhood. And it has meant that neighborhood has stabilized, that real estate values have stabilized, people are moving in, real estate values have increased, and we've done really deep work with the youth in our community and with the immigrant and refugee neighbors. So, you know, our arts district looks different. You know, our art is like great Italian food at Di Pasquale's. You know, our art is thread quarters doing really interesting fabric, work with fabric and textiles. Our art is Mimi Zanino's amazing little art gallery over on Gough Street. Our art is Dan Chavoni's gallery, and just all the pinata ladies from Mexico that create pinata. And so it looks very different, but it's burrowed into like Row House Studios and into Crown Cork and Seal. So it doesn't kind of look like people expect an arts district to look, but it's a very rich and very creative place. And Creative Alliance, for sure, has been established as at the bleeding edge of how arts organizations revitalize communities and jumpstart economic development. I mean, we've been studied by the Goethe Institute. We've had scholars come from Europe to see how we do this. So we've done a great job. And, you know, I need to just brag on it because people don't really understand. 20 years ago, there was an assumption that we had a great cultural community. 20 years ago, there was an assumption that you should be presenting local work within the context of its history and its community and its issues. You know, we take all that for granted now.
Yeah.
But it was our organization that really pioneered that paradigm. So we're proud of what we've done, and we're excited to have a different looking arts district. And we have profoundly deep connections with our community, whether they're Somali refugees or Mexican immigrants or African American youth. So we know how deep we go in the community, and for us, that's a big priority.
Megan Hamilton, she's the founder, one of the founders, and program director at Creative Alliance in East Baltimore. She's leaving her position there on Friday. Her successor, Josh Kahn, joins us in the studio as well on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast, and I'm Tom Hall. Josh, let me clear up something. Your title is performance director. And do I have it right that, Megan, you were called the program director?
Yeah.
So does this indicate some change in the org chart at Creative Alliance?
Well, it's sort of a clarification.
Yeah.
You know, my primary interest was really programming. I'm not like any super duper manager type. So a program director is a managerial position. Actually, our true quote-unquote program director is Gina Caruso, who's our managing director, and she's managing all the program staff. So that title just clears up stuff from the olden days when we only had three staff and I was program director. And Josh's focus truly will be on performance programming. And like he said, he's going to focus on showcasing our local people still and then pulling them up and matching them with these amazing touring artists he knows. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Josh, how do you do that? I mean, are you on the road listening to acts and seeing? I mean, the folks who are in Baltimore can come and audition for you, I suppose. But
well, we don't really do. It's not an audition process per se. I mean, I'm always listening and talking to people. I mean, constantly. That's what, you know, with my old work with the NCTA and in the new position, you know, part of the job is just spending a lot of the day talking with people and listening to work, trying to figure out what would work in our space. Not everything works in our space, but there's a lot of opportunity there. You know, one of the things we've been doing is meeting with performers who are you know, Creative Alliance family members who've been working in that space for years and really developing their career and saying, you know, we're not giving up on you. This partnership is continuing. This family is building. But if you had a dream artist, like if you had somebody that you wanted to work with, let me know. You know, I've sort of worked in the national art scene for so long. I have connections to, you know, artists and agents and friends all over the place. And I have feelers out all the time being like, hey, you know, don't like look at Creative Alliance. We're here. We're doing all this amazing stuff. We want to build off of all these amazing successes that we've had. And so we're taking these ideas and trying to create these partnerships and collaborations to connect the national with the regional and the local.
So Friday, for example, we have Chester River Runoff, amazing young bluegrass country hybrid from the Eastern Shore. And they came to us and they're like, we want to play with Danny Paisley, like the great bluegrass vocalist of all time. So they'll be there Friday. And with Josh's connections, we have John Kanabi coming with his Boo Boo Gang to play this amazing African music. And we have, how do you pronounce that Hawaiian band?
Kahula Nui. They're a 9-piece Hawaiian swing orchestra reviving a sound from the 20s and 30s. They're coming from Hawaii. And it's this big band with horns and drums, but ukulele and slide guitar. It's a wild
see,
sound.
That's the thing is that every night there's something totally different, which has always been one of the great, you know.
And then we have the gallery, and we have the restaurant, we have the artist studios, we have the classroom.
I mean, you alluded to this before, but Baltimore's chip on its shoulder that, oh, we're not New York or even Philly or Washington or something. What's it going to take, Megan, for us to actually get that chip completely knocked off?
Well, you know,
off
it's funny.
Shoulder?
I haven't seen it as a chip in my experience. I've seen Baltimore just have this. This is how we do it. There's not much money around. We do amazing work. We do it in a social atmosphere. We're going for it. And I think that's an advantage. I see the chip in Philly for sure. You know, I think Baltimore has had this tradition of just, we're going to do the work. It's going to be a blast. Let's do it. And I think we have hit critical mass so that we're starting to get a lot more national attention. A lot of MICA grads, art grads are sticking around. And to me, I think we're in a magic moment. And I bet in the next 5 to 10 years, the nation becomes much more aware of what an astonishing cultural center we are.
And Josh, I mean, your work, as you said, has been on the national scene. I mean, how do you think, you know, coming in to this job fairly fresh, how do you think Baltimore is stacking up, you know, in terms of
you know,
the
I've been like,
locale?
So I'm coming up from D.C. where I was at for 14 years, but I like was staring at Baltimore longingly for years. Just, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say disparaging words on D.C., but Baltimore's got, like, this amazing energy. It just really has the artists here. Everybody has this amazing energy. I never looked at it as a chip on the shoulder as so much as, like, a fearlessness that I don't think you see in some other cities. I think, you know, there isn't sort of the privileged nature that you might find in New York. It's just, like, you know, a ready and willingness to attack and to advance and to move forward. And that's something that I think is so amazing. And I'm so excited to be here.
And Megan, you're about to embark on quite an adventure. We just got a few seconds left, but
I'm going to Albania with the Peace Corps.
There you go.
Find me on Facebook. I'll keep you posted. Yeah. Hope to be over there in March.
In March for 2 years?
27 months.
Good for you. Well, God bless. Good luck. And thanks for everything you've done at Creative Alliance. And Josh, welcome aboard.
Thanks.
Glad to have
Thank
you
for the show. It helps the cultural community a lot. We appreciate it.
Well, we like doing it. Megan Hamilton is the outgoing program director at the Creative Alliance. Josh Kahn has just begun his tenure as its performance director. There's always something going on at the Creative Alliance. On Friday, there's a concert with two bluegrass bands. On Saturday, there's a burlesque show called Barbarellesque, inspired by the famous Jane Fonda movie. And on Sunday, a performance with storytelling and bilingual theater called Neighborhood Voices, Our Stories About Race, Where We Live. You can find out more information about everything going on at the Creative Alliance by coming over to our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning.